We're in a series on the book of Acts, and today we are in chapter 2. So we're just planning on camping out in the book of Acts for a while. So just hoping that some of what was going on in Acts just starts to permeate in us and in our lives, and that it rubs off on us. This slide talks about the movement begins. You know, one of the things we've talked about as a church is we want to create a movement of people following Jesus. We want to be following Jesus. We want to be inviting others to follow him. And so the subtitle of this series is The Movement Begins. And we just want to be praying that we're here building a church, but not just building a church, you know, four walls and a roof, but a movement of people honoring the Lord. So you can be praying for that as we go through the series. So I want to start out, do we have the slides? Are those ready to go? Slides? They're good. Okay. I want to ask you, how do you feel this morning? Awesome. Some people said awesome. Better than yesterday. Better than yesterday. All right. Anybody else? How do you feel? Blessed and highly favored. That's good. It's good. Something tells me you say that even when you're feeling pretty low, right? Sometimes we just got to tell ourselves where we're at. Who else? How you feeling? Better this morning. All right. Anybody else? Somebody had a hand raised over here. How you feeling? Nobody? All right. All right. Awesome. That's good. You know, this week I saw this picture and I thought, you know what? Now go back. Not that one. That one. Saw a picture of this and I thought, man, I kind of feel like that today. Man, I feel like not just a quarter tank, but man, I feel empty. Anybody? Come on, truthfully. Anybody felt like that this week? It's not empty, it's refillable. That's good. Man, I just, you know, I felt like I had nothing left to give. And normally, you know, I'm kind of a cup is half full. Anybody feel like that? Sometimes you're the cup is half full. But I just felt drained. This next picture. That's what it felt like. You know, it just felt like there's this big lake, but it sprung a leak and everything is gone. You know, we all have times like that. We have times where we just feel empty, we feel worn out, we feel drained, and we're like, how do we replenish ourselves? And the thing is when you're feeling empty, when you're feeling drained, you're probably not going to accomplish the things God has for you, right? You ever notice that? Like when you feel drained, you don't feel like you have anything to share with somebody else. When you don't feel like you have anything, you certainly don't think, hey, well, let me give you some of what I have. When you're empty, you don't really want to share that with anybody. And so God calls us to further his mission in the world, but it's not going to happen when we are drained and empty and worn out and can't move on. And so we're looking at a passage today that reminds us that God is the one who fills us. When we're empty, he fills our cup, fills it to overflowing. You know, when we're fulled up, that's when we have something to share with others. When we are full, when we are being replenished and built into, then we can go out and share with others. Then we feel like, man, I've got a full tank. I can go on this journey. I can make it where God is calling us. Well, we're going to see in Acts chapter 2 that God fills us with his Spirit. He pours out his Spirit. Doesn't just sprinkle it, but he pours out his Spirit on his people. And we're going to see that the Holy Spirit, it empowers us with joy. It empowers us with gladness and boldness. Those are good things to have, right? Anybody feel like you need a little more boldness in life? Anybody need a little bit more joy? A little more hope? Well, the source of that is Jesus Christ. And so here's our big idea for the day. Big idea. The Holy Spirit empowers us with joy, with gladness, and with boldness. So if the Spirit does that, what should we do? We should seek him. We should go find it, right? Somebody says, hey, I'm going to give you a lifetime supply of Snickers. Of what? Of mayonnaise. You never know what you're going to get. Lifetime supply of Chick-fil-A. If you're promised that, where are you going to go for lunch? You're going to go to Chick-fil-A. Right? If you're promised to be filled up with someone, you want to go and seek that out so you can receive it, so you can get it. Well, God promises us his Spirit, And so we need to seek after that. We need to go and put ourselves in position of being filled. And so we're going to see that happen in Acts chapter 2. So we're going to read verses 1 through 28. And then when we're done, kids, I'm going to dismiss you so you can go to the back. Don't think I didn't forget. But if I do forget, make sure you remind me. I know I forgot last time. I couldn't believe somebody didn't raise their hands. So, all right, so we're going to read this passage, and then the kids can go to the back. You're waiting for me. Sometimes I forget. All right, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, saying, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. These people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day, but this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, 'I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence.'" That's the word of the Lord. All right, kids, if you want to go to the back, we've got some coloring books for you back there. Everyone else, we're going to go through and talk about this. There's just not a good way to divide up this chapter. We're going to cover it in 2 weeks. So the first part is we're looking at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and also Peter's explanation of it. So we're going to talk about a few things in this. First, want to talk about Pentecost. That's something you hear and you may think, what is Pentecost? That's not a word we hear much about. Pentecost, it was a feast in the Old Testament. If you read through the Old Testament, Leviticus, you'll see that there was a feast of weeks. It was 7 weeks. So it was 7 weeks after the Passover. Passover is where they sacrificed the lambs, and normally shortly after that, they sowed grain in the fields. Pentecost was celebrating the first grain harvest. It was the Feast of Weeks. The grain had been put in and it had grown. Interestingly enough, in the Old Testament, they would sow seed and then they would reap the benefits of it. And now Jesus, he has been resurrected. He died on Passover. And now 50 days after his Passover sacrifice, he was been resurrected, he's ascended, and now 50 days later, on the day of Pentecost, the day of ingathering, he pours out his Spirit. He sends his Spirit on his people as if to enjoy the fruits of his sacrifice. The Spirit is poured out. So we saw earlier in Acts chapter 1 that the disciples were to wait in Jerusalem until God had poured out his Spirit, that would enable them to go and testify, to tell others who Jesus is and what he's done. And so now we see that coming to fruition. The Spirit is poured out on Pentecost. Also want to look at what happens here. Look at the signs. Jesus had promised his Spirit in Acts 1, and now it comes. You know, somebody tells me, hey, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on you, I might be wondering, well, what's that going to look like? You know, if I've been waiting, you know, they've been probably waiting for 10 days or so for this day to come, you might be, well, did we experience it? You know, I ate some food the other day. I felt a little funny afterwards. Was that the food? Was that the Spirit? How do we know? Well, God comes in power, and it's unmistakable that his Spirit is being poured out. You see it happen. They hear it. You know, it affects the senses in this passage. They hear it. It's a sound like a mighty rushing wind. A lot of times in Scripture, the Spirit is connected with water. Here, there's just it's a mighty rushing wind. It's connected with wind, with a blowing. It comes, you hear it. We also see that they see things, all right? So they see tongues of fire come down. That's a bit unusual. It's probably unusual for them. It seems really unusual for us. But if you think about, you know, tongues of fire, there's a heat, there's passion, there's light. So as we think about the gospel coming, you know, the gospel gives those things to us, gives us light so we can see, gives us passion. We also see tongues, you know, of all things, why tongues? Why tongues of fire coming down? Well, if you remember that Jesus called his disciples to be witnesses, to be a witness means that you share something. A witness is someone who testifies, so it requires your tongue, it requires your mouth, it requires sharing. And so as you think about them waiting for the Spirit, being called to testify, to go to the ends of the earth to share, tongues of fire might be rather encouraging for them to see that the Spirit is coming to empower them to do the things that Jesus is calling them to do. You kind of wonder if it were to happen today, maybe God would send a glowing cell phone, like a brand new iPhone, come down into our hands, and we're like, yes, I know what I need to do. I need to go and text everybody. Let them know what's going on. I need to get on social media. Tell them about Jesus. Well, you can do that anyway. You know, a tongue, it's the most basic form of communication. It's reminding us of what Jesus calls us to do, and now he's empowering his people to do that. So we see the signs. We see the effects too. There is joy. You know, it's loud. There's a commotion. I mean, it's like Greg just walked in the room, right? So what I think of is like Greg. He's loud. He's fun. My kids say Greg's he's the fun guy, you know, right? Spirit shows up. It's like Greg walking in a room. All right, there's a commotion. There's loudness. There's joy. I mean, you see that happening here. Joy. And these disciples were probably a bit scared. We've talked about how just a short time after their leader, their teacher, has been crucified. If that happened to you, there'd be a degree of fear. You're in with a few other disciples, small group. There'd be fear, but they've got joy. The Spirit has come. We also see that they are declaring the praises of God. This is what we should be doing as believers, right? And so we see here in Acts that they are doing it. They're declaring his praises. They're declaring, verse 11, declaring the mighty acts of God. Now you might say, well, what are the mighty acts of God? Is that Moses and, you know, God sends Moses to deliver the people out of Egypt and he meets them with signs and wonders? Yes, absolutely. Those are the mighty acts of God. Or could it be the things that God has done in their lives? Could it be Jesus talking about how Jesus, or could Peter talking about how Jesus came and restored him after he had abandoned Jesus at the crucifixion? Yeah, it could certainly be that. Could it be, as Greg talked about today, just, man, we had food today. We're alive. God has given us breath. That's an act of God. So which one is it? Well, I think it's all of them. We just need to think about what God has done in our lives and how do we declare that? How do we share that? That's what they're doing there. And it's causing a commotion, and people are wanting to come in to find out what's going on. It's a reminder, when you tell others what God has done in your life, it can draw people to you. It draws people to the Lord. We need to hear encouragement. We also, you know, and as we talk about that, just declaring, you know, this is one of the things, I just want to give a plug for the discovery groups that we're doing. You know, we, part of these discovery groups, it's reading the Bible. What does it tell me about God? What do I need to do? And who can I share that with? I'm reading His Word. I'm being changed by it. I want to tell somebody. I'm just realizing how, you know, I'm an internal processor. I think I've said this before. You know, I process things internally. Sometimes I forget to tell others what's going on. Man, I need to be reminded. I need to have a Bible study where I'm forced to think through, man, I just read this. What do I share with somebody else? This is part of what we want. This is the kind of people we want to be, where we are quick to talk about what God is doing in our life. Be like Scott, where, man, I've started trying to read through the Bible. It's tough, but man, I've been doing it. God's starting to meet me in that. I'm seeing His story unfold. We want to be quick to share what God is doing in our lives, quick to talk about His mighty acts in the past, in the present. He's working in our lives. If He's working, we've got something to share. Let's be quick to do that. Another thing we see here is that there is a uniting. You see all these peoples coming together. You know, this passage is hard to read because there's these places that we don't know much about. But if you were to look on a map, you would just see that the ends of the known world being in this city at this time, and they're all being united around Jesus Christ and the outpouring of the Spirit. It's amazing. It's all different nations. And so we see God's people. It's not just a group of white people. It's not just a group of Jewish people. It's not just a group of black people. It's people from all over. Jesus said that when He's lifted up, He would draw all people to Himself. And we see it happening here. And this is what the church should look like. We're people from all different nationalities, different races, different backgrounds. We have different ideas politically. But we know one thing for sure, and that's Jesus is Lord. And He's Lord of all. And I want to serve Him. And when you see that, you see that people are being united together. They're being united in their identity, united in their purpose. They have a greater affinity for Jesus than their political background. They have a greater affinity for Jesus than their ethnic background. They are leaving those things behind to follow Jesus. They look totally different. You know, we also see that there are old people. There are young people. We see that the promise is for men and women. We see it's also for slave and free. I mean, all different types, socioeconomic, racial, ethnic, all the barriers that typically divide people are being overcome in Jesus Christ and by His Spirit. And that's just an amazing promise that we have in Him. You know, our community, our society, our nation, you just see it being torn apart because people want so many different things. And it's like, how do we find unity? How do we find unity that transcends all those other things? Well, you find it in the church. You find it in Jesus. You find it where you can rest. You can have peace in Jesus Christ. Even if you didn't get what you wanted in the election, even if you didn't get what you wanted in this policy or that policy, our hope is in Jesus is greater than anything else. We know there's only one person that can fix all the problems in the world. And His name is Jesus, and He's sitting on His throne in heaven. That brings us together. That unites us. That allows us to talk through differences as these are little differences. We've got the big things in common. You see this uniting together. And this is a great message for us as a church. As we gather around people that may be different than us, we can be different because we value Jesus above and beyond anything and everything else. We want to serve Him. Another thing, effect of the Spirit coming, is that they are filled. They're filled full. You know, we talk about how we can feel like we are on empty, that we've got nothing left, that we've got nothing left to give. But here, keep saying the Spirit is poured out and they're filled. And we're going to see this as a theme throughout the book of Acts. And we're going to see Paul, you know, they're in prison. They've been beaten, humiliated. And they're full of joy. They're singing. They have a fullness that transcends their circumstances. Their circumstances don't look great, but they've got a joy and a hope and a gladness that fills them. Psalm 4:7, great psalm, great verse. You have filled my heart with greater joy than when all their grain and new wine abound. Just think about that. You know, this is the grain harvest. Pentecost is the grain harvest. Similar to what the psalmist says, you have filled my heart with greater joy than when all their grain, all their new wine abound. You know, looking out in a society, an agricultural society, a man, they've got the harvest is coming in, the bales of hay, the bales of wheat, all this. I'm not much of a farmer, so whatever you gather all the crops together in, you know, it's lucrative. And there's joy. And man, let's bust out the wine. Let's celebrate. And what he's saying is there's greater joy in a relationship with God than all the other things in the world. You've got a great grain harvest. Well, I've got a joy that's there regardless of the harvest. Even if the harvest wasn't that great, I've got joy. We're reminded of that in this passage. We don't need more of the world. We need more of God's Spirit. You don't need more of the world. You need more of God's Spirit. So many times we feel, we wear ourselves out feeling like, man, I've got to get this and I've got to get that. And once I get that, man, then I'll find joy. You don't need more of the world. You need more of the Spirit of God. And His Spirit is free. We just have to come to it. The world tells us we need more stuff to fill that void. We can just silence that. When you start feeling inadequate because you can't buy that thing and do this trip and that trip, just remember, man, my fullness comes from God. That's what we need. You know, here in awesome Alpharetta, I love living here. I love being able to go out, you know, have a bad day. You can find some comfort food, right? I enjoy some comfort food. You know, you can go out and not just get a burger, but you can get a gourmet burger. You know, if you need a vacation, you know, people don't just take normal vacations. You know, we take big vacations. You know, we've got a lot of stuff in our community. We've got a lot of good jobs that enable us to get a lot of different stuff. But those things aren't what ultimately fills us. And if we start asking those things to do what only God's Spirit can do, we're going to be disappointed. We're going to be upset. We can't ask physical things to meet spiritual needs. We need spiritual things to meet our spiritual needs. We need God's Spirit to be poured out on us. You know, a few years ago, I was talking to a couple, and they had been having some real ups and downs and more downs than ups, and was talking to them about turning to the Lord and following His plan, and they just kept putting it off. And then they finally decided, it's like, you know what? We are going to take a week-long vacation to Hawaii. This is our dream vacation. We're just at a point where we can make it happen. So we're going to go to Hawaii. We're going to enjoy it. We're going to come back, and everything's going to be made perfect. They went on that vacation. They came back, and within a few days, they decided to file for divorce. Just a reminder that you can be on the best vacation, the best trip, eating the best food, getting the best whatever. But if you're not having your heart satisfied in God, none of that stuff is going to matter. If you aren't content in God, you're not going to be content in anything else. And if you are trying to seek contentment in your spouse or in a vacation or whatever else, if that's your source of joy, you're going to be chronically disappointed. You're going to be chronically sad because those things aren't going to fill you. It's God's Spirit that brings us joy. Here, you've filled my heart. God fills our heart. There's nothing else that can fill your heart. Vacation to Hawaii, it is not going to fill your heart. Getting married is not going to fill your heart. Having kids is not going to fill your heart. New job, great job, more money, win the lotto. All those millions can't fill the void in your heart. We need to make sure we're not falling into the lies of the world that start to tell us. You know, you sit there and watch TV, all the commercials are telling you, man, you get this and then you'll be happy. No, we need to push that aside. We need to seek God's Spirit. That's what we need to look to and trust in. We need to trust in Jesus Christ. Verse 28, it says, you have made known to me the path of life. If you want the path of life, you follow Jesus. You follow His plan for you. You put Him first. That's the path of life. Start telling all those lies that you're believing. You just tell them to shut up. All right, we tell our kids, hey, don't tell each other to shut up. I'll tell you who you can tell to shut up. You can tell the devil to shut up. All the lies that start coming to you and telling you you're nothing, you have nothing, just... Go, Jesus told you to go this way, but you go this way. No, you tell those voices to shut up. You silence them. Stop listening to them. Say, Jesus is the path to life. You want to follow Him. You want to follow His ways. You know, a lot of times we want to go our own way. We're like, I'm just going to go this way. Jesus, you told me to go that way, but I'm going this way. And then we get down that path and we're like, Jesus, you abandoned me. What's going on? You got to follow his path. You got to get on his path. You got to follow that. Trust in him. Seek him. Don't follow the ways of the world. Here we see the Spirit empowering, strengthening, filling his people. We need to seek after that. As we think about praying, what are you praying for your kids? So often I start praying, God, give them more stuff. Let them do well on the sports team. Let them get into this school or this job. Or what. And it's like, wait a minute. Man, if they just follow Jesus, that is the most important thing. I want them to know Jesus. I hope they do okay in other areas, but man, if they get Jesus right, I think everything else is going to come. What are we praying for them? What are we praying for our friends? Are we more burdened that they get that new car, that new job, that surgery goes well? Are we praying for them to experience the life-changing filling of the Spirit of God? I think that's something. Man, we start praying for the Spirit to move in our church. Man, that's what we most need. We don't need great programs. We need the Spirit of God. You can have programs and not have the Spirit of God, right? We know that. It's a Spirit movement. Are we longing for that? Are we longing for him to come and move in us? Have to ask yourself, what are you desperate for? What are you desperate for? Are we desperate for the Spirit of God? That's what we most need, is his Spirit to empower us, to equip us. That's what's going to make our marriages better. That's what's going to make us better parents. That's what's going to make us better employees, is being empowered by his Spirit. Where the world doesn't fall apart if I don't get what I needed right here. If there's a hardship, how do you press on through that? You pray for his Spirit. Sometimes you pray for those things to be removed, but sometimes you say, God, give me the strength to keep going in the midst of this. He fills us. Those are the signs that he gives to us, the effects of it. We also see the source of this filling. The source is Jesus Christ. We don't get the Spirit without Jesus. You know, sometimes we get confused. Well, how do I like pray to the Spirit and not Jesus? Or if I was praying to Jesus, am I not? What's going on there? Well, seek after the Lord. The Trinity, one God, three persons. Man, we seek them. Seeking Jesus, it's like seeking the Spirit. And here we see it's very clear that Jesus is the one who gives us the Spirit. You know, there's several prophecies from the Old Testament that are quoted here. Verse 16 talks about this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. Verse 24 talks about raising Jesus up, loosing the pains of death. I love that, loosing the pains. We don't use that word loosen a whole lot. It means to destroy something. So if you're a Packers fan, it's like my Packers are going to loosen the Buccaneers today. They're going to destroy them. They're going to annihilate them. Well, here, what's being annihilated is death. I mean, you think about that. Death is the greatest thing we have to fear, right? Most of our other things come around because somehow it revolves around death. You know, you're fearful of being in front of people because you're going to die up front, right? So as soon as the power of death is taken away, the power of all those other fears should crumble. You're not going to die. Okay, even if you do die, Jesus is with you. You're going to overcome it. So we start seeing the source of our hope. We see that Jesus is the source of the Spirit, that we seek after him. This is what we need to be hungry for. More of Jesus, more of his Spirit in our lives. I'm reading a book on revival. And someone said, in this book, they were talking about just wanting more of God. And they said, hunger is the greatest cook. Think about that. Hunger is the greatest cook. You know, when you go hiking and you've been hiking for like 6 hours and you finally get to the top and, you know, you're hungry, you're thirsty, and then somebody throws you a 25-cent pack of peanut butter cheese crackers. I mean, you open those things and you're like, man, this is so good. I mean, it's like the best thing you've eaten in months, right? When you get that pack of crackers, you're not debating. It's like, well, you know, these crackers have Jif, but I really prefer Peter Pan. You know, it's like you don't care what kind of peanut butter is on. You're hungry, and you just want that. You know that's what your stomach needs right there. And it's like, what are we hungry for as a church? What are you hungry for as a believer? What do you think you most need? You know, because a lot of times we can come in and we can critique and, well, you know, well, we did this, but it wasn't quite that, or what about this? It's like, where's our hunger for the Lord? You know, we just come in, we're just hungry to sing. Man, it doesn't matter what song, just give me some Jesus. That's what we most want. You know, we can start getting satisfied with so many other things in life. We can start getting satisfied with all the other things in the world. And we just need to say, man, what I need right now, I'm hungry for Jesus. That's what's really going to fill me. That's what I most need. Because we can get so filled up with other things that don't satisfy. You know, you get filled up with television. Start basing your week around, well, you know, hey, Dancing with the Stars comes on this. I can't remember the television shows, you know. I don't remember what we watch, you know. Or you want to binge watch something. Man, let's just go fill our weekend with this. Man, we've just got to push those things away and focus on Jesus. You don't need more time in front of the television. You know what? If you've had a rough day, sometimes we think, man, I just need to relax and do nothing. Okay, sometimes there's a place for that, but you need to be built up. Instead of watching television, man, spend time praying. Before you and your wife decide, hey, let's get away from the kids and let's go out on a date. Let's just enjoy some food. Maybe say, hey, let's do that. But man, let's take some time. Let's pray. Let's read a passage and let's talk about it. And let's pray together. Let's pray for God to move and work in our lives and in the lives of our kids. Let's be hungry for that. If we're going to experience that, we need to seek the Spirit. We need to seek after what Jesus has done for us. He said, seek and you will find. It requires effort on our part. And a lot of times, it just involves us pushing secondary things out of the way. You know, it's not often we get bombarded with the most important things in life. It's all the secondary things. It's the things that all of a sudden soccer starts to seem more important than church or Bible study, you know, just going out, having something to eat or drink, that's more important than Bible study. Man, how do we pursue the Lord? How do we seek Him? We want to seek Him in those things. We want to make sure that as we come together that we are really seeking after the Lord, that we're coming into Bible study ready for Him to work, asking Him to move in your heart. We want to be posturing ourselves to receive from Him, to hear Him. You know, Scott said he wakes up in the morning, just prays. He says, God, show me something. Are we praying for that before we go to Bible study? I guarantee if you start praying, crying out to the Lord, God, meet me in Bible study, I bet you're going to get something out of Bible study. If you start praying for God to meet you in church, I bet church is going to seem less boring. When you start longing for God to meet you in your quiet time, longing for Him to speak to you, He's going to start moving. But we have to posture ourselves to be poured into. A lot of times for us to be poured into, we've got to get all the other stuff out of our cup. Got to get all that television out. We got to get out all the worries, all the other stuff. And there's just a simplicity that when we come and we say, Jesus, I just need more of you. That's what I most need. I don't need all this other stuff. I just need you. It's amazing how much simpler life can get when we have that. And it's amazing when we start doing that, that we start experiencing more of God, that we start experiencing the outpouring of His Spirit. You know, we're looking at the outpouring of the Spirit here, and you know, sometimes people will say, well, you know, that happened in Acts. And you know, it was just a one-time thing, and it shows us what God was doing in the apostles and that we should trust the message that they have. Other people read this passage and say, you know what, this is the same God today. And you can experience that same thing, and you should experience it just like they experienced it in Acts. You know, I think there's a little bit of those that, you know, there's some truth to each of those, and I think having a balanced understanding is helpful. Because the outpouring of the Spirit in Acts 2, it is unique. It's unique even within the book of Acts. We'll see the Spirit move later, but not quite like it did here. There is something unique there. But we also see that it opens up a pattern of following Jesus, of trusting Him. You know, there's other passages of Scripture that tell us, be filled with the Spirit. We need to seek after the Spirit. You know, and this isn't unlike other passages of Scripture. You know, you come to the Old Testament, you see Moses in the Exodus, right? Moses delivering God's people. They come to the Red Sea and the waters part. God makes a way for them to go. Is that Are those acts, are those showing us how great Moses is and that God is with him and that we need to trust what Moses says? Is it doing that? Or is it telling us that our God can make open doors where there are closed doors and that I can trust him in the situation I'm in right now? Which one is it? It's both, right? Yes, there is something unique in the Exodus. There's something unique happening there, but it's also telling me who my God is. And so as we come to the book of Acts, we're going to see amazing things happen that times it's helping us to see that God is with these disciples and empowering their message, but it also reminds us that we can experience the Spirit. If you're feeling empty, you can experience the outpouring of the Spirit. If you feel intimidated by what God is calling you to do, ask him to pour out your Spirit. If you feel like you've got no more in the tank and you just can't make it, cry out to him. If you feel like you're not strong enough, ask him to empower you. If you are just riddled with fear and doubt and anxiety, you can pray to him to give you peace and joy and confidence. He can fill you. So we want to do that now. Let's just bow our heads and let's pray. And I just want to encourage you just to where you're at, you know, where you feel that you need God's empowering, ask him, pray for that. One way we pray for the Spirit is to say, God, give me more of your Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit. Empower me. Strengthen me. I want to just encourage you to do that now, just to pray to the Spirit. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would empower us. We pray that you would fill us afresh. God, I just pray for those who feel weak, that they would experience your strength. God, I pray for those that are riddled with anxiety and fear and paralyzed by it. God, I pray that you would fill them with your Spirit, that they would know, that they would just sense your Spirit with them in power, that they would feel it, they'd see it, they'd know it. We just cry out for more of you, God. Fill us with your Spirit. Fill us, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.